Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY with Jim and Jack, your usual Thursday morning co-hosts. Jim is still in town, has not yet left on his next adventure, this time to Billings, Montana.
You bet. Mm-hmm. As soon as this show is over, I'm on the road again.
We are here on a beautiful little break in the rain of a Thursday morning. We have with us Ken Wood and Michelle Murphy from Food for Our Children and also from the Rotary Club, the Dinner to Die For event coming up on May 4th. We'll be talking about that in a second.
Absolutely.
But I have the forecast in front of me, Jim. And
there's not much to the forecast. I read it this morning, at least for today. Mm-hmm. I read it while Democracy Now! Was on the air, and it was like a one-liner.
Yeah, it's so. Let me tell you something. I was exploring the website for the National Weather Service, and I found the more detailed version of the forecast in like descriptive language. So if you thought I wasn't descriptive enough before, you're in luck.
Look out, everyone.
Uh-huh. Okay, tell me if I have to stop, if it's getting too graphic for you.
I'll cut you off after about a half hour.
Okay. Let me tell you what we're dealing with right now. As of 4:50 a.m., this is the heads up from the National Weather Service. An active, wet, cool, and unstable weather pattern will continue through the weekend and into early next week. Showers will be concentrated over the Idaho Panhandle and southeast Washington, as well as the mountains ringing the Columbia Basin, with high elevation snow accumulations. The wettest day for most of the region looks like Saturday, along with breezy conditions. Subtle drying and warming is possible by midweek. However, wetter weather will return by the end of the work week. That's next work week, I guess. Today through Friday night, a slightly unstable northwest flow aloft will prevail over the inland northwest through the end of the work week. As an area of low pressure resides in British Columbia, an associated trough sweeping across northeast Washington will exit through North Idaho this morning, bringing a brief decreasing trend of the current rain and mountain snow showers across extreme eastern Washington and North Idaho. With snow levels at 3,000 to 4,000 feet, light snow accumulations in the mountains and mountain passes are likely, especially Lookout Pass through mid-morning. Easter's going to blah, 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 blah. I can't do it anymore.
It's sort of like a Far Side cartoon. Mm-hmm. One time about a student in class raising his hand saying, teacher, can I leave? My brain is full. I feel like my brain is full, and it sounds like an ex-English major. Couldn't get a job teaching English, so writing extended weather. And how many adjectives can I throw in there? Okay, just give me the brief summary that I gave listeners between 7 and 8.
Okay, the highs are in the mid-50s. Actually, the high on Saturday is 49. Cooling off as the weekend progresses, it is partly cloudy, or patchy fog, then partly sunny today, mostly cloudy tonight. Chance of rain or snow, and then chance of showers tomorrow. Chance of showers and mostly cloudy. Showers on Saturday, showers on Sunday. Showers is the watchword for the upcoming weekend.
We all should build an ark.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, you're a gardener.
I know.
Is all this rain a good thing?
Oh, I guess so. I think that we're really anxious to get in the garden, get our hands in the dirt, start planting some stuff. I was at the nursery yesterday, so I don't know. It's got to dry out a little bit, though, for us to get in there. So okay. I'm anxious. It's just...
Okay, well, I'm just
we'll get there.
I'm just wondering if the rain is good. I mean, all this rain is all that good. Or how much of a drying out process do we need?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it's good. Why not?
Well, I know that our garlic is up about 3.5-4 inches.
Right.
And looking spectacular.
Good, good. Yeah, the snow's finally out of my garden, so that's a step in the right direction.
Well, let's make talk about the up-and-coming A Dinner to Die For. That's going to be Saturday, May 4th, and sponsored by, well, partnership, the Rotary Club and the Food for Our Children. I know nothing about Food for Our Children. I mean, I've heard of the Rotary. I know the name, but possibly as we have our discussion unfold this morning, we can talk about these two organizations. Who wants to jump in and first of all give an overview of the event?
Oh, I'd be happy to, Jim.
This is Ken Wood.
So the event is Rotary's annual gala, and in the years past, it sponsored things like the library. Rotary, over the past 2 years, did this gala in sponsorship with the library, and it helped fund the teen room, furnish the teen room, bring a lot of the technology to the teens.
I've heard it's a great room.
Yeah, absolutely. So this year, Rotary decided to partner with Food for Our Children, an organization that provides food for kids that may go without during weekends and evenings.
Local?
Locally. All okay. Locally. Yep. And so the gala this year is a little bit different than it has been in the years past. This year we decided to put on a murder mystery dinner theater. It's themed around the 1930s Great Gatsby type of era. It's got some really phenomenal actors in it that are well-known in the community. People like Dino Wall from the festival, Steve Verby.
Ken Wood.
Ken Wood is is part of
He's
it,
our
yes.
star.
Yeah. So some great people in the community that are going to be part of it. And all proceeds are going to go to these two organizations.
Somebody who might not have gone to a murder mystery dinner theater, yeah. Does that mean like there's going to be blood on my plate of my chicken or something? I mean, how does it work? Does one eat and then the play, or is the play going on while you're eating?
So the greatest part of this is, yes, the entertainment's going on while you're eating. And it's a chance for the audience, a lot of audience involvement. They're going to get a chance to question the suspects. They're going to get a chance to try to figure out who done it, essentially.
Okay.
So all kinds of fun audience interaction, very interactive play.
Okay. Where's it going to take place?
So it's going to be taking place at the Sandpoint Event Center, the old high school building.
Ah, right. Okay.
The theater stage on that third story is beautiful. It's going to work really, really well for this event.
Now, is this a locally written play?
No, it's not. It's not a locally written play. We went with a company out of England called Red Herring. So yeah. But it's very well done.
And how many people in the performance?
There are going to be essentially about 9 actors as part of the performance.
Okay, and this is Saturday, May 4th, at what time?
Starts at 5 p.m.
Okay, and?
Ticket prices, yeah. Tickets are going to be $100. Again, all proceeds are going to Food for Our Children and Rotary.
Okay.
The event includes a dinner made by Judy at Tango Cafe, so anybody that's been to Tango knows how great the food is there.
Absolutely.
There'll be a live auction. There'll be drinks, themed drinks, served by the 219er. There'll be a wine wall. There'll be both live auctions and silent auction items and the entertainment. So, and I anticipate that this event is going to sell out. We have about 200 tickets available total, and we've already sold about a fourth of them.
And where does one get tickets?
So the best place to get tickets is on our website, dinnertodiefor.org. And you can get tickets there. And
is there any place one can pick up tickets like live? I mean, if one doesn't have access to a computer?
Sure. If somebody doesn't have access to a computer, I would recommend that they give me a call directly at 208-284-5659, and I'd be happy to help them get set up with tickets.
Super, super. So we'll come back to the dinner theater. Let's talk a little bit about the Rotary Club and the Food for Our Children.
Sure. Let's start with Food for Our Children. Let Michelle take a turn.
Okay, yeah, Jim asked a great question. You know, it's like, is the funding for Food for Our Children local? And it is. Food for Our Children, our mission is to eliminate childhood hunger in Bonner County. So every dollar that we raise, everything goes to buying food for our children in Bonner County. We don't have any expenses that, you know, all of our directors pay for all of our expenses and whatnot. So that was, we were formed in 2015, so that's quite a daunting task when you think about it, you know, and approximately 1 in 5 or about 1,600 kids in our community, in our county, do not have access to sufficient food. So it's like, where do you even begin to address this problem? So we started with the weekend food program, which was started a number of years ago by Coldwater Creek in association with the food bank. And I think they serviced Kootenay, Northside, maybe one other school. So we started expanding upon that program, and a couple years ago, we sent home 14,000 food bags to kids.
So you said it's primarily on weekends. How does that work?
A lot of kids, you know, they qualify for the free and reduced breakfast and lunch at the elementary schools. That's what we started focusing on, and at some of the schools, it's over 50% of the elementary kids qualify for that program. So we were learning that a lot of times kids, you know, aren't looking forward to the weekend because they know that they're not maybe going to have food or any food or sufficient food until they come back to school on Monday morning with the free breakfast. We heard a story from one of the principals at Head Start that they had these breakfast burritos on Monday mornings, and they're big breakfast burritos, and Head Start kids are 3-year-olds to 5-year-olds, and that, you know, one teacher on Monday morning could only get through half, and one little guy ate 3 breakfast burritos that morning. So it's like,
he hadn't
yeah,
over
it's
the
like
weekend.
Enough's enough. Yeah. I mean, this is a solvable problem. So we stepped in and we just started raising money. And you know, at first it was kind of radio silent. You know, it was, I thought, well, certainly, you know, once we get out there and start talking about, you know, hungry kids, the money will start flowing in. But that wasn't the case. So you know, we've kept, you know, pounding the pavement and giving presentations and reaching out. And I think that we've moved the conversation that people are aware that, yes, there are kids that are hungry in our community. And when they're hungry, they're not going to get an education. So it's an investment in our kids and an investment in our community. So I'm really just really happy to be a part of this and you know, seeing if we can, you know, cut into this generational poverty and get these kids an education.
So what would, like, the proceeds from this benefit go towards? What
right.
project are you trying to accomplish now?
So what we've done is we've been able to add, just this year, every elementary school. We're at Lake Ponderay High School with the weekend food program. Let's see, middle school. And we still need to add the charter school. What else? The Clark Fork. We're looking at, you know, investing in Clark Fork, like some type of breakfast program. But we were getting kind of, we thought, okay, we're getting a handle on the weekend food program a couple of years ago, 2 years ago. And we thought, okay, we're really making some progress on this. And all of a sudden, we got an email and a call from one of the principals at an elementary school saying, can you please help us? We just are completely tapped out. All the teachers are buying, you know, snacks for kids for a mid-morning snack program. So, you know, they get the free breakfast, but then around 10:30, they're not temper tantrums, they're like absolute meltdowns, you know. And it's like the power of a cheese stick. Then you know, get the kid, you know, calm down, you give him a cheese stick and problem solved. He or she can go back into class and learn, you know. But in that type of environment, when the kid is just really having a meltdown, that's not going to happen, you know. So then we started funding a mid-morning snack program. So we've been able to add that to all the elementary schools as well. So it was like really interesting too. One principal at one of the elementary schools said that there's this one little guy that has a really tough time at home and just really doesn't trust adults. And so just with the cheese stick, okay, calm him down. And it's like, here's something for you. And it's like, okay, I'm learning that, you know, there are some adults that I can trust and that are, you know, going to take care of me.
Yeah. And I think you asked about what this is going to fund. I mean, Rotary was really behind jumping in with Food for Our Children on this because of the fact that almost 50% of our kids in this area are on free or reduced lunches. And it's our goal that this event raises about $10,000 at least for Food for Our Children. We're hopefully going to raise more than that, but at least $10,000 to go to Food for Our Children.
You know, I'm always amazed, like when we have Debbie Lubb come on from the food bank, about the numbers of families, and here in the case we're talking about our school children, who are hungry in our county. What does that say to you as people who are deeply involved in this? What does it speak to that we... You know, here we are in North Idaho, and we have some really hungry people.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, about when we started in 2015, I heard a lot about, you know, I would talk about the poverty in our area and whatnot, and I heard a lot about, well, there's the food bank, there's food stamps, what's the problem? All of our needs are met in Bonner County. And through the years, it's the conversation has really turned that people are like, you know what, there is poverty in our area. It's a stigma, it's a hidden, you know, and the numbers at the food bank are just out of this world. So, but it's just a hidden, it's a shame. You know, and so I think that just opening, I'm really proud of Bonner County. I mean, they're just really taking the lead, like with the city, with the recent High Five grant, taking the lead to say, okay, here's the problem, we can do something about it. So I'm encouraged about it.
Yeah, I'm looking right across the way. We have on our board free community meal schedule, you know, that one. But what I find really interesting about what you are doing, Michelle and Ken, is you've tied it with education. My mother was a second grade school teacher, and she said, some of my kids come to school hungry, and there's no way that I can teach them until, you know, their hunger has been satisfied. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about the other three of you in the room, but I've always had food in my stomach, and so maybe learning is something that I could focus in on, and so I don't know what it is to try to learn something.
Yeah, Jim, I'm the same as you. I mean, I've always been lucky enough to have plenty of food in my stomach as well, but I can't imagine what it's like for kids that can't focus on anything but their stomach rumbling in class to try to learn their ABCs and mathematics. I mean, it's just...
Or to just sit still.
Right.
Sit still. You know, I mean, the how wonderful. Now, this is the third year of the program or the fourth?
Let's see. We started in 2015. So what's that? The fourth year.
The numbers of students you've impacted, has the number remained the same? Has it gone down? Has it gone up?
You know, it varies a little bit, but not all that much. So, you know, sometimes like a little blip with the economy, we're prepared to, if there is something that happens with the economy, that we don't add a school unless we're sure, as sure as we can be, that we can sustain it year after year. Because we can't go in and say, well, here's food for this year, but sorry, we don't have it for you next year.
Mm-hmm. What's the geographic range now of food for our children?
Just in Bonner County.
Bonner County, okay.
Right. And we do, West Bonner County, we do Priest River. The Newport Hospital there has a snack-to-go program, I think they call it, and so we support them as well.
Okay, and one more time, the number of students?
1 year, I think this was last year, the year before, we sent 14,000 weekend food bags home.
14,000?
14,000. Mm. So that's just weekend food. And then now we're doing the mid-morning stack. And then we're starting to fund as well. This is something that will be really, really great from Rotary, is the spring breaks and Christmas breaks.
Is that 1,400 or 14,000?
Well, total bags.
Oh, total bags. Yeah. Total bags.
Mm-hmm. Total bags. 14,000. Okay. So that's going to be really important, is because, like, one, you know, the kids, you think, oh, spring break, the kids are going to be so excited about it, and they're not.
It's a stretch of hunger.
Yeah, and they don't know. Like, I was at one of the elementary schools, and it was right before Christmas, and we were meeting with the principal, and he was really late, and he came in, and he said, this is just the worst time of year, you know, right before Christmas break. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, Christmas can be emotional. Maybe they're not getting a toy. And it's like, no, these kids' lives are about to just be blown up. They don't know where they're going to be. They don't know, you know, if they're going to have any food. And I mean, the weekend's a long time, but then a break is even longer. So now we're starting to fund that as well. And eventually we're going to have to look at the daunting problem of summertime, you know.
It's even a bigger stretch.
Yeah. At least, you know, at the schools, they're at the school, so we can send them, you know, with food at the schools. But the transportation issue, you know, we'll figure it out, but we're getting there. So
now, are you in the play?
No. Oh, my gosh. No, ticket sales would just plummeted if I would have said yes.
Okay, let's now switch over to Ken and Rotary, the umbrella organization over the dinner, and that is in a partnership with food for our children. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Rotary.
So the Sandpoint Rotary is the club that's putting this on. Now, there's two Rotaries in Sandpoint. There's the Pondere Club and the Sandpoint Club. And this organization does amazing things for this community. They're responsible for the CHAFE 150 ride that's going to be coming up.
For autism? Mm-hmm.
Well, this year it's going to fund literacy. But in years past, it had been on autism. And it raised nearly $50,000 a year for autism research and help in our
schools. That's a chunk.
Yeah. It's been responsible for the benches along Lake Pondere Trail. I'm trying to think of the name of that trail.
The Lake Trail.
Yeah, the Lake Trail, yeah.
The Bay Trail.
Yeah, Pondere Bay Trail. Thank you.
Bay Trail.
Yep, a lot of the benches through there. It has done playgrounds. The Peace Park. So Rotary is in a lot of things in this community.
Who becomes a member of Rotary?
A lot of community leaders. The membership of the Sandpoint Rotary Club is about 80 people right now.
And the profile, these are?
Business leaders in the community, people that are retired that just want to make a difference in this community.
Okay. And how long has the Rotary been in existence? A while?
Oh, quite a while, yeah. And I couldn't tell you the exact number, but it's been here a long time.
You know, the reason why I'm a stamp collector, I was when I was a child, and in the mid-50s, there was a stamp for Rotary, and I that's the only way I know it, but it was an 8-cent stamp, and postage was 3 cents, so 8 cents must have been like down around the world or whatever. I couldn't afford a plate block, you know, but that's how Rotary was first introduced to me, and so... Why is there one in Pondere and one here? I mean, is there big enough?
There's big enough, and there's different times for meetings, so people that can meet in the mornings belong to the Pondere Club, and then the Sandpoint Club is Wednesdays at noon.
So are you still looking for members?
Always looking for members.
Okay,
and always looking for great community service members.
Okay, if one is interested in serving the community through the Rotary, what does one do?
Show up at the Columbia State Bank building on Wednesdays at noon. I'd be happy to bring you as my guest.
Is it every Wednesday?
It's every Wednesday.
Well, busy people.
Yes.
Absolutely. So how did one get the idea of Rotary tying in with, you mentioned, other organizations that it did. How did Food for Our Children get the attention of Rotary?
Yeah, so Food for Our Children was on our list of people to partner with during the CHAFE 150. And literacy was chosen this time around, but we wanted to do something with Food for Our Children. And so this event was a great opportunity to partner with them.
And I think you said that before that the gala benefited the teen center at the library, right? That is just a phenomenal, phenomenal program.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the teen center, they lost their facilities, so they just meet in a corner, I think, at the bowling alley. But yeah, I've been talking to the folks at the library, and they say that that's just a wonderful program. They're doing all kinds of, like, cooking classes, all kinds of things, and, you know, they're at capacity with the amount of teens in there. So that's been a wonderful program.
Absolutely.
We've had a lot of people from the library come in past morning shows, and you're absolutely correct, Michelle. That is an incredible building over there, and it says a lot about our community.
Yeah. The library is such a phenomenal resource. They're the amazing things.
We're here with Ken Wood and Michelle Murphy, and we're talking about Rotary and Food for Our Children. We're going to take a music break, Jack and Jim, and then we're going to come back and talk more about a dinner to die for. We're going to do a music break. This is a song that was released on this date in 1966, and it became one of the top sellers for this artist. That was Strangers in the Night, released on this date, April the 11th, 1966. And that later on became the title of Frank Sinatra's best-selling album ever.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a major hit for the incredible singer. And we're going to jump back into our conversation with Michelle Murphy and Ken Wood. Michelle is representing Food for Our Children, the organization that is benefiting from the Rotary Club's A Dinner to Die For. More information, Ken.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, the event is on May 4th, 5 p.m. at the Sandpoint Event Center. Tickets, again, can be found on www.dinnertodiefor.org. I don't know how we got so lucky to get that that site, but we did.
But did you get that site?
We did. That is our site now.
Wow. Go away. Well,
yeah, this is going to have to become a regular event.
That's
just
the,
to use the
site. Absolutely. That's the hope. Mm-hmm. And tickets are $100. And again, it's dinner, entertainment, chance at some amazing live auction items.
What are some of the items?
So I'll go through a couple of them with you here. The one that I think is most exciting is there's a chance to go on a Hawaiian vacation to the Big Island.
The Big Island?
The Big Island.
The best. The Big Island. The best.
Yep. Encoder has given us a condo unit, 2 bedrooms, 2 baths, fully furnished on the ocean on the Big Island for October 3rd through the 13th of 2020. So plenty of time to plan for it. 10-day vacation. And yeah, just an amazing opportunity there.
Dino Wall would be one who would give you lots of information about that.
Yes, absolutely.
She's a Hawaiian person. No, wait, I didn't say you got to do that.
Hawaii.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You got to do that break now because you spell it Hawaii.
That's right.
You know, you just don't glide through it. That's incredible.
Yeah, that'll be one of
the. And what's also nice is it's far enough in advance.
Yes,
you know, rather
full
than.
Full year and a half.
You know, yeah, it'll be this July. You know, that's not going to work. That's really a great, great auction item.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Dino, we also have festival tickets, a full season festival ticket, two. Actually,
oh, that's an incredible lineup. Jackson Brown, Lake Street Dive, Abbott Brothers, Cool and the Gang, Nathaniel Ratliff, and the Night Sweats. And I know I'm forgetting somebody, and they're going to call me in a second and say, "Jim, you forgot us," but that's okay. That's all right.
The festival's
a great supporter. A lot of organizations here in town. They do a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one I'm really excited about is there's a spring gardening collection that has been donated by the Interact Club at the Forestburg Charter School. So these are students at the Forestburg Charter School that are putting together a complete gardening package, tools and seeds and everything that you need.
How about the labor?
No. Maybe we could, if the auction item goes for enough, maybe we can work that in there too. So, I mean, those are just a couple of the auction items that we have, and there's 10 just amazing live auction items that are going to be donated off.
Now, let me ask you about the murder mystery. Does it have a title?
It does. It's called Murder at the Great Spatsky.
Okay, so when you say a dinner to die for, you can continue to have dinner murder theaters with different play
titles. Different themes, absolutely, yep.
Cool. And do you get murdered?
No, I do not get murdered, but I'll give you guys a little hint, and I think this is reason to show up enough. The murderee is Dennis Pence of Coldwater Creek. So, yes, if you want to see Dennis dead, you can show up for this.
Oh, dear.
Does he end up just, like, lying on the floor for the whole performance?
No, he will. His body will be carried out of there, but, yes, you'll get a chance to see Dennis.
So people walk in. I've never been to a murder. I'm going to have to go to this one. You know, I mean, is somebody just eating there, then all of a sudden goes, ugh, and drops on the floor? I mean,
That's going to be a little bit more of a mystery for you. You're going to have to come see that. I'll keep that on our.
Wonderful. And this is a dinner to die for, Saturday, May 4th.
Doors open at 5 o'clock.
And dinner begins at?
Roughly 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. So this gives people. You mentioned a wine wall.
Mm-hmm.
Can you? Is it like, do I have to look at this wall? What do you mean by a wine wall?
So the wine wall is again a way to raise money, and we've had multiple people in the community donate bottles of wine, things from your $2 chuck to all the way up to $90 to $100 bottles of wine.
Okay.
Everybody puts in $20 and gets a chance to choose a wine from the wall. You won't know what it is until you get it, but you got a great chance to get an amazing bottle of wine or maybe something not so great.
That's a neat idea.
Yeah.
You know, that really is. And what are some of the other things that are going to occur that evening? We have the raffle. We have the wine wall.
Mm-hmm.
How about the delicious dinner?
Yeah, so the dinner, again, is going to be served by Tango Cafe. We are in process of finalizing the menu, but I can tell you it's going to be amazing regardless. We're hoping to have it themed around that time era, so we're working out the final details on the dinner, but everything that I see, it looks amazing so far.
Excellent, excellent. And will alcohol be served?
Alcohol will be served okay. by the 219er, you know, everybody's favorite bar in town here.
And you said it's a Great Gatsby era.
Yep, Great Gatsby 1930s so theme. Flapper dresses.
Do you encourage attendees
to costume up? Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, come dress themed.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Tell us more about Rotary. You do more than a dinner.
We do. Yeah, I think Rotary is one of the most amazing organizations in this town because it does so much behind the scenes. There are a lot of scholarships and a lot of the money that is raised at this event will go to scholarships for kids in our local community to go on. It funds foundations here locally that have done amazing things in places like Zihuatanejo, Mexico. It just overall, there's just a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that Rotary is responsible for in our community and improving our community.
Excellent, excellent. And Michelle, one more time, the benefit goes to Food for Our Children. Briefly, Food for Our Children is an after-school program or a during-school program?
Well, we send weekend food home. That's how we started. And then also a mid-morning snack program. And now we're reaching out to get funding for the spring breaks and the Christmas breaks. So, you know, our real focus is that this is an investment in our kids. It's kind of like, do you want to pay for it now or do you want to pay for it later? If they're not getting an education, that's not doing anything for our community. My husband is a juvenile probation officer, and he has elementary kids on his caseload, and I don't want them to be on my husband's caseload. I want them to get food. I want them to get an education and open every avenue of success open to our kids.
You know, I have to admit on the air that I'm a big fan of Michelle.
Jim's one of my favorite people.
Michelle has been the guiding light with the Edible Schoolyard Garden Project,
yep.
You know, that has just blossomed incredibly throughout the community. And I enjoy your passion, your sharing of your skill set.
It's funny, you know, when I first met you, Jim, and I think that I first met Ken, it was 9 years ago, I had sent Jim an email saying, hey, are you interested in talking about school gardens? It's like, you know, I'm probably not going to hear back from this guy. It's like, yes, yes, yes. And so Ken and I went on the air. That's when the three of us met. So this is kind of like a reunion here. So
what about Jack, though? Jack is sitting over there.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't come on the scene for probably 2 or 3 years after that.
So. Well, you know, let me tell you, one time Michelle came on with some elementary school kids, and before the mics were live, they were just like little chatterboxes.
Right.
And the moment the mics went on, you know, one-word answers, you
right.
know, like, and...
Right. Yeah, and one of the little guys, I have a picture of him, he's so cute. He's like, has a big, huge carrot that he's eating, and his face is completely orange from eating so many carrots. And so Jim said, well, we should have, like, you know, formed the microphone like a carrot, maybe he would have talked more. So
it was just, except we got them going with especially the boys about the worms.
Oh yeah, that's always a favorite.
Right. You know, but Michelle, you have just been a mainstay, and it is just incredible. And of course Ken,
absolutely.
Ken, who has an incredible history of being on the stage here in the community,
and all of his service with the chamber and with Rotary, and
yeah.
So
he's also my financial advisor.
Oh, there you go.
You know, yeah, I'm going to the Big Island. No.
We'll talk about that later, Jim. Maybe we can.
No, but KRFY has just been so supportive of all of our programs with kids. I mean, I really, really, really appreciate it. And they're actually... I was on the air 2 years ago, and, you know, I put in gardens at the schools, and now I'm starting community gardens. And I said, if anybody knows of a place where there, we can put in a community garden. Please let me know. And one of your listeners contacted me, and that's how the Christ Our Redeemer Garden started, which is at 40 beds right now, and it's all free to the public. So KR5 has just been a huge, huge resource.
Well, and the beds at the food bank.
Food bank, and we expanded that.
That, you know, there's just been, well, you know, I mean, that's part of the reason why we're here, to get the word out and give voice to people like you and Ken, who are making an incredible impact on the quality of life here in North Idaho. Oh,
thanks,
you know,
that's really nice.
I mean, one more time, though, A Dinner to Die For, Saturday, May 4th. Doors open at, I look at the postcard, and one of the eating utensils has blood all over it. You know, I like that. One more time, Ken, price of the tickets and where one can get tickets and the importance of the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So tickets, again, can be found at dinnertodiefor.org, or you can call me directly at 208-284-5659. I can help you get tickets that way. Tickets are $100. There's also a chance to sponsor a complete table. So if you want to bring you and 10 of your friends, we have that opportunity available as well. And just overall, really excited about this event and what's going to do for this community and for these organizations.
Oh, I want to thank both of you for coming in and taking time out of your busy day.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to play a song as we say goodbye to Ken and Michelle. It on this date in 1983, one of my favorite bands, REM, released their first album called Murmur. And this was a song that they had recorded before and released as a single, but is probably the biggest song in terms of attention, called Radio Free Europe. Here's REM in their early days. That is Radio Free Europe off of the Murmur album, the first album released by REM on this date in 1983. And of course, they had a great 20 plus year run as a band. I'm a big fan of theirs.
Mm-hmm. We are looking ahead into the upcoming events for the weekend. One more thing. Michelle Murphy, who just left from Food for Our Children. If you can't make it to that Dinner to Die For on May 4th, or if you're just interested in more information about Food for Our Children, their website is pretty simple. foodforourchildren.org is about that Bonner County organization. And it's that's where you would go if you wanted to find out how to help them out, or just
become a member.
Yeah,
absolutely. Events coming up. I'm going to start with Annie the Musical is here. It opens this Friday, April 12th, at Sandpoint High School Auditorium. More than 60 local actors, singers, and dancers age 8 to 18 take the stage featuring such classic songs as It's a Hard Knock Life and The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow. There's going to be a bunch of shows April 12th, 13th, 18th, and 20th. That would be Friday and Saturday this week and Friday and Saturday of next week, beginning at 7 p.m., doors opening at 6:30, and then a couple matinees at 2 p.m., the 13th and the 20th, doors opening at 1:30. You can get tickets online or at Eve's Leaves or at the door. So that is Annie the Musical, Sandpoint High School, beginning tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and there's going to be 4 nighttime showings and 2 matinees, so lots of good stuff there.
I've never seen Annie, the movie or the musical.
I've seen the movie.
You have?
Yeah, yeah. I've enjoyed it. Good songs and a great chance for lots of people. They say here more than 60 local actors, singers, and dancers. So visually, you know, it's a great community event.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. She's an orphan, right? And does she have a little dog or something?
Yes. And,
okay.
And I'm sure the phone's going to ring off the hook, but right now I'm drawing a blank. Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was a cartoon strip for so long.
Right. Little Orphan Annie.
Annie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite sure that there was some legality that they couldn't use that as the title
name,
of the play or the film. So, Annie.
Annie. Okay. We have tonight. No. Yes, tonight, the 11th, Thursday, Grateful Dead Jam Night at the Idaho Poor Authority. All musicians are welcome to join Scott Taylor for a few hours of jamming to The Dead and Fish. That is from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Idaho Poor Authority, 203 Cedar Street.
Put your tie-dye on and go down.
Thursday night solo series. Host of McDuff's open mic night, Kevin Doran, is headed to the Beer Hall at 220 Cedar Street for a special Thursday night solo series. From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Kevin Doran and Sandpoint Curry in a Hurry will be there as well, free and open to the public. It is non-smoking, and I think that is 21 and up at McDuff's Beer Hall. Open mic night at the Pondere Winery tonight as well, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Let's see, who's going to be there? It doesn't say who's hosting it or anything, but tell a story, read a poem, recite a verse, or sit back and listen to the stories of our literary community. I see this is not a musical open, or at least not strictly musical open mic night. This is a poem story.
Creative mic night.
Moving on to Friday, tomorrow, at the winery.
Tomorrow.
Hey, that's one of the songs. Yeah.
I was waiting for that.
Tomorrow, winery live music at the winery, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., Bright Moments Jazz. It is a nice way to spend a Friday night listening to Bright Moments live jazz trio at the Pondere Winery. Down the street from the winery at the Poor Authority, Mike Hastings and Friends, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. At the Matchwood Brewing, the I suppose the newest venue in town, music from Crooked Tooth from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., a powerhouse trio, delighting you with emotionally honest songs that draw from acoustic, soulful songcraft, and soaring rock and roll. Let's see. At the Beer Hall, the music is going to be The Green, with a backwards three in there as one of the E's. The Green Trio, Ron Green, Justin Priest, and Brian Burke. Ron Green, you've probably heard up here if you've been listening to music out at any of the venues in town over the past few years. He's been touring the Northwest and West Coast and stops in Sandpoint somewhat frequently. And it's going to be a trio this time. It is 21 and older at the Beer Hall, but I think that is free and open to the public. Let's see. At the Panada Theater this weekend, this is interesting. Mary Magdalene, starring Rooney Mara and Joaquin Phoenix. I had not heard of the movie at all. I mean, I don't know. I guess I think I know the story, maybe, but I've never seen a movie based on her. Have you seen it, Jim? Or
no, has been released.
Yeah. Let's see here. Brain Funk at the Hive, 207 North First Avenue. He's a guy from the Inland Northwest. High energy performances and a unique blend of styles which span the sound of underground
bass music.
This is, yeah, still on Friday night. A big Friday night.
Friday is busy. Let me switch to Saturday.
Okay.
We have at Huckleberry Lane's The Hunger Bowl.
Yes.
Striking out hunger in our community. Saturday, April the 13th. There's a four-person team bowling competition, and I think you already needed to have signed up for that.
I think so.
But there is an open, non-competitive open session from 10 to the 11. Proceeds will assist the Bonner Community Food Center in helping hungry families in our community. A great organization. They do tremendous service, just like Food for Our Children. Hunger Bowl, Huckleberry Lanes, non-competitive open session, 10 to 11. So this would be a good thing to do, especially if it's raining.
That's right, yeah. We don't have a KRFY bowling team. but we should probably put one together. You're going to be out of town.
Yeah, no. I should not be on it. I used to be on a bowling team, and let's not blow the embers of painful memories. Okay. I want to talk about a week from today, and then we can jump back to Saturday. A week from today, KRFY is hosting an evening of informed discussion with nationally syndicated radio host Alternative Radio, and we do alternative radio here at 88.5 KRFY. David Barsamian is going to give a talk at the East Bonner County Library, Why Journalism Matters. That's at 1407 Cedar Street in downtown Sandpoint, Thursday, April the 18th at 6 p.m., and it's free to the public. It's our way of saying thank you to the community. I have heard David before. He is engaging. He is passionate. Mm-hmm. And speaking on a very important topic, why journalism matters. That's 1 week from today at East Bonner County Library, 6 p.m.
You can tune in to Alternative Radio on Monday evenings here on KRFY and get a kind of a flavor of what you might expect from David Barsamian. I can't remember how to pronounce his last name.
You did it well.
Okay, thank you. The Contra Dance is coming up again. It's every month, the Contra Dance at the Sandpoint Community Hall. This time, let's see, from 7 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. on Friday.
Friday.
Live music with local and regional bands and lively callers. Contras, circles, and occasionally squares or long way sets are taught, called, and danced in a friendly atmosphere. It's the second Friday of every month, and I think you should show up promptly at 7 if you've never been there before to learn the ropes. There's an adult prom party at A&P's on Friday at 9 p.m. There will be prizes for best dressed prom king and prom queen and other prizes and giveaways. And then live music at the 219 from 9 p.m. to midnight. Lost Ox, this is Friday night, who have been cooking up their mix of all original progressive rock, country, Americana, and funk since early 2017. They just recorded their first full-length album, Wild Heart, and I should try and get a copy of
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, for the radio station.
And anyway, that's 21 and up. It's at the 219 at the address there, 219 North First Avenue. The Home and Garden Show is going on Saturday. The Panhandle Building Contractor Association at the Fairgrounds, 4203 North Boyer Avenue from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. on Saturday. And it's they will be adding boats, RVs, and motorsports this year. That's a change in plan or change from years past.
Absolutely.
And it's and at Greasy Fingers, there's a used bike garage sale. That's the corner of 3rd and Pine from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We mentioned the Hunger Bowl. I've been asking DJs around here. No bites for the bowling team. Couldn't get you. Couldn't get.
Well, I'm not going to be here. So
right.
But even if I were here, I would because this is not a test of bowling skills.
No, it's just a
great way to. I noticed your bike outside.
I rode
Jack.
Down. Well. Look at the beautiful day.
I know. Yeah. We have a little skylight here in the studio, and I took my bike in and had it summarized. Mm-hmm. I had all the chains oiled, grease. I turned out I had a broken spoke, and who knew? Mm-hmm. I didn't. And so my bike is ready. Bring on the good weather. And even if it's not too good weather, I pedal with an umbrella. I know it looks dorky, but it works. And I also have a back fender. I wonder how people without a back fender, they have rooster tails.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
I have a front and back fender on that little town cruiser there, but I also have a
love the colors.
Oh, it's a beautiful bike. Annie picked the colors, but I have to get my road bike kind of back into operation.
There you go.
They mentioned the upcoming the Chief 150, and I don't think I'll do the 150, but they have the 30
mile.
I think I'll do a partial this year if I can get into shape.
Well, you mentioned the fairgrounds, and I want to talk about something that's coming up later this month that is taking place at the fairgrounds. It's the Wine Festival at Sandpoint on April 27th at Bonner County Fairgrounds. That there's going to be unlimited tasting of premier wines, five-star gourmet dinner, music, entertainment, raffle, silent on live auctions. All benefit the festival at Sandpoint, and you can get tickets online at festival@sandpoint.com, or you can call 208-265-4554. And I just remembered the one group that I did not say when I ran down the list, Walk Off the Earth.
Ah, you yes. Know,
I mean, I did not. But this is April 27th, a Saturday, the Wine Festival at Sandpoint. It's a wonderful organization, the festival. Not only the artists that they bring, but also the way in which they have summer camps for children, music camps. Just an important organization here in town.
One more thing on the 13th, that's Saturday. Down South is a band from Spokane, which is playing at the 219 from 9 p.m. to midnight. Southern rock, Texas blues, country rock, Americana, etc. The band is called Down South, and they are from Spokane. On the 14th, Sunday, it's a week early, but there's going to be an Easter egg hunt at Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church.
10,000 eggs.
Yeah. That's, is that really? Okay, candy
filled chocolate.
Easter, yeah.
Chocolate
egg. Okay, 10,000 Easter
there.
Eggs. Yeah. Let's see. Coffee and cookies for the big kids, and bring a camera. 263-7516 for more information about that. The whole family's invited. There's another dance going on Sunday night. A family dance from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Sandpoint Community Hall. Big circles, long lines, perhaps a square dance or two, even a family waltz. All easy and way too much fun. No experience is necessary. Just bring clean, soft-soled shoes and a water bottle. And let's see. Oh, and it's Piano Sunday at the winery. Piano music with Annie Well from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. And live music at the brewery with Ken McGinnis of the KRFY. He's a regular during our pledge drive. He's
right,
usually
right.
Plays a set up here during that time,
which we really appreciate. And that's going to be coming up in early June for us.
And that's it. We've run out of time. It's time for Bird Note now. So,
Jack, have a good one.
You too. Enjoy your trip, Jim. Drive safely.
Will do. Montana is lovely at this time of year.
And we will now go into Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.